And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Angel Answers. I'm your host, Amy Toy. We have an awesome guest. If you want to know about past life regression, she has a book out called Return Again, How to Do Your Own Past Life Regression. Her name is Dr. Georgina Cannon. She's an award-winning consulting clinical hypnotherapist and lecturer at the University of Toronto. She's recognized as the public face of hypnosis in Canada and a respected member of the mainstream health community. Dr. Cannon is a frequent media guest, and her work and her views have gained her prominence as a frequent source for news and feature articles in hypnosis and alternative therapies. And she has a website, GeorginaCannon.com. And Dr. Cannon, welcome to the program. It's an honor to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm splendid. The sun is shining. It's beautiful fall day. How could you not be great?
Exactly. Yes, we're not too far apart. You're in Canada and Toronto. I'm in Buffalo, New York. So yes, it's a sunny day here too.
And we pop over all the time and go shopping.
I know. I seek a lot of Canadian plates.
Particularly when the dollar's a little better, yeah.
Well, yes. Well, you're taxed to death up there, too.
Yeah, I know. Ouch.
Well,
yes.
Yes, Dr. Cannon, you're here today to talk about your book, Return Again.
Mm-hmm.
And you have done a lot of extensive research on this. How did you, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the hypnotherapy field, and how did you come across past lives?
Oh, okay, sure. I started off as a journalist in England. And worked in England after I left school as a journalist. When I came to Canada, I was a journalist for a while, and then opened up a PR shop because one of my clients wanted me to, the people I'd written about wanted me to do some PR for them. And that grew into quite a large PR company, and it was bought by a company called Burson Marsteller, which is a very large international PR company, and I was their creative director for 4 years. And then they asked me to run the Canadian office, so I was managing director Canada with 4 offices in Canada. So it became sort of more corporate. And although it was a great lifestyle, it really didn't satisfy me from a soul heart perspective. And my daughter loved it because she loved having a mother as a mogul, I must say. And I enjoyed having secretaries coming, you know, at my beck and call. But it just wasn't, it just didn't feel right. So I started looking around for something else. And I took some, along the way, I took some Reiki classes and some Gestalt therapy classes and color therapy. And happened upon hypnosis. We're now talking 20 years ago. So I realized when I took the hypnosis course that, in fact, it was exactly what I was looking for because it enables the person. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just a facilitator, but it enables the person to find their magnificence. And that's become my slogan, if you like, to help people find their magnificence. And because I grew up in England, we've always been involved in the metaphysical. We sort of know about ghosts and we know about fairies at the bottom of the garden and all of that. So it was a natural step up, if you like. And I studied with Michael Newton, and I've studied with Henry Bolduc. And then in my school, I started teaching. And because I'm used to teaching adults, being a facilitator in the corporate world worldwide, I found it very easy to step from one thing to another. And the school grew. It grew tremendously. It became Canada's largest school. And the clinic was busy 7 days a week, and I had people, different people, doing different things in the clinic and school. But because I came, I got sick, I had to sell it 2 years ago, and all the while I've been writing. So Return Again is my third book, and there are two more out there with right now with an agent, and I'm so I've become more focused on my writing, more focused on my teaching. But at a different level. It's much less business and more heart-driven. But I've still got a business head, so I understand the importance of making sure that everything works. It can't be too woo-woo. It has to be practical. It has to be available. It has to make sense. Mm-hmm. So that's my story in a minute.
Okay. Well, you know, what exactly is our past lives, and why do we want to be involved in a past life, and why do we really care?
Well, that's a good question. Why do we care? Well, we care if we're looking for tools to improve our current life, mm-hmm. because that's really what it's about. I believe the current life is the most important life that we have, because that's the one we got right now. You know, mm-hmm. they say a bird in the hand, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a tool to enrich our current life, to find out why we have patterns, of victimhood, or why we have patterns of being a teacher, or why we have patterns of always being alone, or whatever. And sometimes when I do regression work with the clients, they do go back to early childhood in this life, where they've learned a pattern, or they go into a past life. And when I'm questioned about our past lives real, I say it doesn't really matter, because even if it's a metaphor that your mind is giving you, as long as you get the answers and the information and the wisdom, it doesn't matter what we call it. Mm-hmm. So even though you may experience being a cave person or someone in medieval Italy or someone in Greece or someone in the Holocaust or someone in Britain or in Africa, because we're all different colors and different races, different sexes in each life, because the soul has to learn. So whether we really get the color of our shoes or color of our skin doesn't matter as much as getting the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And so how do we know we're going through a past life regression?
Well, you feel it. You feel the emotions. You recognize that you are experiencing something that isn't the same as when you came into the clinic, right?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, your clothes are different, your sex may be different, your skin color may be different, your language may be different.
Mm.
Or it may be the same, mm-hmm. but your feelings are not what you came in with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been through a lot of past life stuff,
right.
So I know what you mean.
Right.
It's like, you know, and sometimes when I first started this work, too, I would go into a regression, didn't know it, or I'd do a meditation, I was doing a past life, and I was, for example, in Rome, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, so you figured
right.
it out.
Right,
you know,
right.
you really do.
And what's this dress doing on me, or whatever it is, yeah.
Or, yeah, what am I doing, Greece and the, you know, the Oracle of Delphi or something, you know,
right,
looking out
right.
over the sea. It's like you just are there and you experience it, you know, you really do. So what is the point of having a past life journey? Why would we want to do this, really? Why would we really, I know you had mentioned it, but why would we really want to subject ourselves to that journey?
Well, for information, for understanding of self. And if you're stuck in life, you know, people come in, for instance, and they say things like, why am I always choosing losers? How come I can't keep a job? How come, although I love my husband, his mother's driving me crazy and I can't even think about her? She's a nice woman, but there's something about her that's driving me crazy. What is it? So those things are often from a past life, including migraines, including some body pain, as well as emotional pain. So, you know, when we go searching and we go back to the source often takes us to a past life, including fears and phobias.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we might have a fear of snakes, and we don't have snakes around here, but if we encounter a garden snake like a friend of mine did, she almost had a heart attack.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right. And as much as you say to them, you know, people, they feel lovely. They're not slimy. They feel like suede. They say, I don't want to know.
I know. It's like I thought we were walking on a trail one time, and there was this garden snake, you know, and coiled up. And I thought she was going to have a heart attack.
like,
yeah, so like maybe you were killed in Egypt. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
What do you mean by the term interlife?
Oh, this is one of my favorite things. The interlife is the space between lifetimes. So it's like the passageway or the corridor in between. And when we go home, because that's where the soul is going in the interlife, we are without body. We are pure spirit, pure energy. And people do. They weep in awe because they're going home. They feel so good. And they get to meet their soul group often, not always. They get to go to the library where they may experience their Akashic records, or the laboratory where they learn to manage their energy differently. And they go to in front of the council quite often, which are the wise elders. And this is where most of our deep abiding questions are answered. It's a beautiful journey, and it takes 3 hours in the clinic.
Interesting. Okay.
It is. It's very different than past lives. I recommend that people do past lives first, because that way they learn to regress and recall the memory and be able to speak it. So, and because they're, you know, 20 steps removed when they do the interlife, at least they've had some practice of doing that. So it makes it easier for them to slip into that space.
Interesting. Okay. What got you interested in past or the concept of us experiencing interlives?
Because I knew there was something more. When I first started hypnosis and I did a lot of regression work, I'd take people back to the womb or back to their early life, like age one or two or even 3 months old, back to the root of the issue. And sometimes they went to a place that they didn't recognize. And, you need some structure around it. And so I studied under Henry Bolduc and Michael Newton to get the structure, so that we knew that we didn't forget anything, all the healing and the forgiveness and the letting go and all of the energy field pain was released as well. Because it's not enough just to visit that past life and say, oh, that's nice. You have to be able to release it if it's painful in any way, both physically and emotionally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the training is necessary.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if people aren't just making up things during a past life regression?
Oh, that's a question everybody asks the first time. The emotion is so strong, the awareness, and sometimes you get names you never even thought of. Sometimes you speak a language you don't know. Sometimes there are situations that are historical that you may never have known before. You get the name maybe of a sailing ship that you were on that drowned, and you can go check it, including your own name. It feels different. Sometimes the voice changes, the body posture changes. It's just an awareness of, of going beyond. And when they do say to me, how come, you know, supposing I just did make it up. I mean, I was in a Western town in the States, and you know, like cowboy and Indian country, and maybe it's because of a movie I saw. And I say, yeah, but, you know, you were a servant. And if you were going to make something up, wouldn't you be something much more glamorous? I mean, really, let's make it exciting if we're going to make it up.
Yeah. I used to get flashes of, you spoke of the West. My mother was, like, in a past life, like a barmaid or something, like Miss Kitty, you know, from, you know, Gunsmoke or something. And my dad with this rough guy or something that came in, I said, hey, you guys met in a bar this lifetime and you met in a bar that lifetime. I thought my mother was going to kill me.
Funny.
I had this vision.
That's very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, and my mother get mad at me. But, you know, it's like, yeah, you just, you know, you can see past life. Well, I can in my work. I can sometimes see a past life very clearly. And other times I experience a past life, too, just like you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you are like, you know, a servant or something. Like, really? I'm a servant? Not the famous person? Not the kahuna, you know?
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very, very humble, you know, whether you be a slave or you be a serf or you be someone who was born on a farm and you lived and died on that farm and the most exciting thing was bringing in the harvest, you know. So, and that's the way people lived. That's most of the people.
Yeah, they weren't these glamorous lives. You're right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So, I'll just have to tell Miss Kitty I spoke with you. Maybe she'll believe me. I'm just kidding. My mom, I always call. You were mentioning soul groups and soulmates. Is there really such a thing as someone having a one soulmate, or could we have many?
Oh, I think we have many.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that because from where I sit or stand, the real meaning of soulmate is someone who comes into your life to enable your soul to grow. And that can be someone who irritates the heck out of you because you're learning patience. Mm-hmm. Or it can be an ex-husband or wife, so you're learning forgiveness. It can be a neighbor who drives you nuts. Mm-hmm. It can be someone you meet on the bus or on the plane when you're flying somewhere who gets you over a hump, who just gives you an answer to a question you've just been stuck on. These are people that come in to help the soul grow. And hopefully we meet one a month or we have, you know, like Book of the Month Club. We have lots of people who, as we are helping others, they help us. Mm-hmm. And there's a soul contract of people that we have with people who help us grow. And in my book, I talk about soul contracts and how you can rescind them if they're unnecessary. You know, some people, for instance, go through a relationship. Sometimes it's a short-term relationship, sometimes it's a long one, and they can't let go of that person. Whatever they do, they just can't let go, even though it's an unhealthy relationship or damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is that it might be a soul contract. And if that's the case, then in my book is a way of making sure that you can break that contract or say, I now know, I've learned, it's time to renew the contract and let it go.
I've had that experience where it was a short-term contract or short-term relationship.
Yeah.
And those are the most painful, but if you can learn, like I learned, I was angry about everything and realizing that. And if you can learn from that, I think that's very important. Every relationship that comes into our life is a learning tool and an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you don't want to look at it that way, that's what it is. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Finally, I was able to rescind the contract, by the way, so it's always a good thing. Yeah.
It's always a good thing.
It's always a good thing, yes. He's on his way and bothering somebody else, so that's always a good thing.
Learning, teaching someone else.
Oh, I think she's teaching him from what I've heard.
Oh,
it's
good.
A small town here.
Okay. All right.
If one is doing a regression on their own, Dr. Cannon, is that safe to do without a professional, or should we have someone trained such as yourself?
Well, the reason I have a script in the book is because not everyone can get to a facilitator. And the script in the book does give a lot of caveats and a lot of protection clauses that you need to put in the script.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's better to have a professional, no question. It's like pulling your own teeth. I mean, if you have to, and you're by yourself, and you've got toothache, you pull your own tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, you really want a dentist.
Yeah, especially, yeah, you do. I mean, I've had clients that have regressed on their own, and I've been with a facilitator, so it's always a good thing.
It's always a good thing, because otherwise I believe it's like sitting in a glass box, because what you put out there, you get reflected back. So it's always good to have an extra energy, a different energy in the room, and someone who can facilitate you beyond what you want to do, but what you really need to do. To allow the soul to take the journey. Because when you do it yourself, your conscious mind is still engaged.
Mm.
And that's not ideal.
Right, exactly. No, it's not. And, yeah, and there's so many great past life regression therapists out there. You know, there's up in Toronto, which is a really good, reputable place.
Indeed.
And there's other places around here. I know a few hypnotherapists that do that. But you really do. Yeah,
I've just launched a registry, International Registry of Regression Therapists.
Oh, okay.
And anybody who does it, either run as a school or as a facilitator, should sign on to this registry. Because when I was on a radio show a couple of months ago, I got so many questions from around the world saying, who can do this in my area, that I thought, there's got to be a need. So we just launched it.
Oh, okay, awesome.
So if you want to be on it, let me know. Just send an email and we'll put you on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Or anybody else that's listening that wants to be on it.
Yeah.
And it's the International Registry of Regression Therapists.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, there's a couple in my area, too, that would probably, I could send emails.
That would be great.
Because you know, I'll have clients locally ask me, well, who do you, if I don't want to, you know, sometimes I don't do it. It's just, sometimes it just happens. You know, I'll have a client ask me, I'll say, well, I know someone who really does a good job, you know, and I like to refer people to Toronto.
Absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good to refer out, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, sometimes yeah. Especially when you're just concentrating on one thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, or just don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
Can a past life regression occur spontaneously?
Oh, indeed, yes. Indeed. They can occur in a Reiki session. They can occur when you are walking through a building that you've never been in before and you sort of feel like you know your way around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get people coming into the clinic saying, I've just got back from Scotland, and I knew my way through that castle. I felt like I lived there.
Uh-huh.
Things like that, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. When my girlfriend lived up in Canada for many years in the Guelph area, Guelph, Ontario,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I knew my way around. She didn't. She was going to school there, and here I'm coming from Buffalo, driving up there, and I knew my way around. She used to kill
That's
me.
Funny.
I think that is funny. She's like, no clue. I have to wait for you to come around so I know where we're going.
That's
I'm like, are you kidding me? You're going to the vet school up here? So I probably did have a past life up there or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it would be worth exploring to see if you were First Nations person up here or something.
Probably. You know, I have a lot of Native American blood. My father's
mm-hmm.
side has a lot
mm-hmm.
of that. And I resonate with, I love going up to Niagara Falls area. And
mm-hmm.
I love it. And I know my way around. And
yeah.
It's very odd. But I like the Canadian side. I don't like the American side. You know that joke, yeah.
Yes,
the Canadian side's much nicer.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to argue there.
Yeah, it's exactly.
And wine country is lovely around here, yeah.
It is. It's beautiful. You know, you can, it's cleaner, and it's just like I knew my way around. Like, I'll go up there to the Festival of Lights. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's interesting because some people will say to me, yeah, I went to England, let's say. I had a client
right.
that went to London, and she'd never been overseas, and she knew her way around London Tower.
Right.
Around that area. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, okay. You know, it's kind of
right.
freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it does happen. Or that feeling of deja vu. Is
yeah,
that...
it's almost stronger than that
uh-huh.
in a way, because deja vu is a sense of I've been here before, what's that about? But when you're living in a past life and you enter
mm-hmm.
that past life, you know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you found the same when you go to a
yeah.
place, particularly like Greece or... anywhere in the Middle East, Japan, if you walk in there, you get flashes of being there and knowing. It's a
mm-hmm.
deep knowing and understanding. I have a friend, a colleague now, who came to me as a client, and he grew up in the north of Ontario in Sault Ste. Marie, which was very blue town, mining town, very white and blue collar, and he from a young age he had been fascinated by all things Japanese. When he came to Toronto, he looked for someone to share an apartment with that was Japanese, and you know how multicultural Toronto is, so it's not that difficult. And he is blue-eyed, blonde. He speaks Japanese as fluently as anybody else in Japan, and when he came to me as a client, he immediately went into a past life, and the first thing he said was, oh, my feet hurt, because his feet had been bound, like they used to do to the Japanese women.
Oh, huh.
And so they wouldn't get big, because tiny feet, I don't know if you know this, but tiny feet were considered the way to go. So women's toes, do you know about this at all?
Yeah, I do, but maybe we'll enlighten our listeners.
Yeah, so
that.
The women's toes would curl under. That's why they always had servants holding their elbows or carrying them around because they couldn't walk. Their feet had been bound since they were children. So he had, that's the first thing he said, and he didn't know about that part of things.
Mm-hmm.
My feet hurt. So when we investigated, he wasn't at the very top of the hierarchy, but he was certainly one of the wealthy wives of a man in Japan in, I think, 1800 and something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he speaks Japanese, and it's very strange.
That is it. That's fascinating. Now, when I've done meditations, The Karate Kid, the new movie, the one in China.
Mm-hmm.
When they were doing that, I felt like I was there in a past life, and then I did a meditation, and I saw the mountaintops where that, you know, when they went to that pilgrimage up by the Great Wall and everything, and I had a past life. It was like it was shown to me. I was a monk, and I was
that's cool.
I was looking. I had a really rough life, but up to that point, I lived to be very old. But I was at peace at the second half of my life, and I felt it was paralleling this life for some
mm-hmm.
reason.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know, the first half was not that great, but the second half's a lot better for me now. So it was
mm-hmm.
interesting because I was looking over the mountaintop, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the vastness, and I felt so peaceful. And I looked down, and I was very old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing this robe, and it was just amazing. I just had that about a month ago, matter of fact. So
that's really nice, because what that does, it gives you a deep inner peace in yourself
mm-hmm.
that lasts, you know, in your current life.
Exactly. Yes, it was like paralleling, and my guide, we'll talk about guides in a minute. You know, it's like you parallel this life with another life.
Yes.
Because, you know, that person in that lifetime has done a lot of work towards getting to that point.
Yes.
So, and which is the same here.
Yes.
So it does occur spontaneously, but it does occur.
Right.
And so, Dr. Cannon, what makes your work different compared to other people in this field?
I think it's because I'm so pragmatic about it. You know, I'm not at all woo-woo. I'm not at all, you know, when people come in and they say, you know, I want to meet my soulmate, and I think if I went into a past life, it would help me. And I say to them, well, what are you doing currently to meet your soulmate? I mean, sometimes I just have to bring them down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, again, we can't do what I call psychic bypass. I think
mm-hmm.
we really have to be very aware of being very in the here and now, as well as using the past as just a tool. It's only a tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And it's great. Yeah, like I have clients who will call me up, you know, doing a reading or something. They'll say, oh, when am I going to meet my soulmate? Well, you getting out there? Are you going online? No, I said, he's not the pizza man or the FedEx guy who's going to knock on your door. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
One instance I know, and it was very freaky.
Right.
You know, you sometimes you have to do the work.
Oh, you have to do the work, yeah. I mean,
you know,
God, you know, they say God helps those who help themselves.
Help themselves, yeah, I was going to say that. And, yeah, that's interesting you mentioned about the soulmate thing. Yeah, the guy, you know. Let's say someone is doing an exercise, you know, for a past life. Do you think they get have you ever had someone get stuck in a past life?
No, but what I have had is people get stuck in the interlife because it's so lovely there. They don't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's so peaceful. It's so gentle. It's so all-loving. And what I have to do is to remind them that this current life is only temporary, but it has to be lived so that we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to come back. And then if they're really stuck, you just remind them that, you know, their hour is up.
Yeah. It's like when I had my second I've had two near-death experiences. My second one, it was like that. I was crying. I'm like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to come back.
Right.
And you don't want to come back. So I don't know if I would do an interlife because I probably would want to stay there this time. You know, I'd be so adamant.
Well, you might want to stay, but my goodness, what you'd learn would be fabulous. And you'd find out why you needed to have those near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I was stubborn, dear. I wasn't getting the message.
Yeah. Well, what do they say when God touches you with a feather, and then when you don't get it, it hits you with a brick?
Exactly. That's my case. Exactly. I was so stubborn. They were giving me so many clues, I remember. And it was like, no, we're going to put you, you know. So, yeah, I had the fear of God plate, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the interlife, I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something I wanted to know, too. If someone is tortured or murdered in a past life, do they re-experience that pain?
They may. They may come in also with a feeling of not ever being quite well. You know, some people always feel just what I call 1 degree under. They're not quite sure what it is. The doctors can't find out what it is. They might call it, you know, something or other, and they not ever find out what it is. But I certainly help a lot of people who have migraines or other chronic pains that they can't get rid of. Working with them with a past life, that helps often. I got rid of my own migraines with past life. So it really does help that way.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, migraines. What about, you know, even people who we've had so many autoimmune, you know,
yes.
situations?
Yes.
Have you ever helped people with that? You know, because I have a sister
like
with that.
Like fibromyalgia?
Multiple sclerosis, lupus, you know, those kind of things.
No, I haven't. I haven't had people come through my door that way, but... if they do, I'll send them to you. Because, no, because you do healing as well. I mean, you do a different
yes.
thing.
Yeah, I do. I do the integrated energy therapy. I do more than the Reiki. It's
exactly.
It's a channel.
Yeah,
yeah it's different. Yeah. But I wonder with people like that, you know, why do they have autoimmune things? I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, this lifetime, but, you know, it's
sometimes
interesting.
It's based in old anger, don't you find?
Yes, old anger, bullheadedness, stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people in my life that personally that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So
and if they're not prepared to let that go, then nothing changes.
Nothing changes when nothing changes.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, they can get past it. So. You know, I also want, speaking of that, what about the concept of karma? What is the point in trying to change things in the now, in the past now? Why should we do a past life? Is it going to clear the karma of this lifetime?
Well, you see, I happen to be one of those people that think you can change karma.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we come into this lifetime with karma as like a hand of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And how we play those cards is totally up to us. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we can choose each day who we are and how we are. Never mind the environment. Because people often say to me, well, that's fine, but, you know, we live in North America. What about the people in the Sudan? What about the people who are starving? Are you telling me that they can change all of that? They maybe can't change that, but they can change how they live within it.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in the concentration camps or in the Sudan, there are people who are kind. There are people who are protective of others. There are people who are takers. Really, it's about what we do with what we have that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked in a hospital at one point with children, teenagers who were physically disabled.
Hmm.
And they, at one point there were three teenagers who were in wheelchairs. And you could tell that one of them was going to become an athlete, a wheelchair athlete. Another one would probably become either a CEO or something of a company,
mm-hmm.
and the other one would become a victim and live on welfare
mm-hmm.
because that's what they saw themselves as and that's what they chose to do. It's like people we know who have cancer or a pretty strong illness of some sort. Do they make it the center of their life or just do they make it something that they deal with?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, we make our karma.
Yeah. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. It's what you do with the card you're dealt, the hand of cards you're dealt with.
Exactly.
And, yeah, it's like, are you going to take it? And, you know, I was accused of being Pollyanna because I try to make the best of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was dealt with a very toxic household growing up. I mean, all of us were, I think, in one approximation or another.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the cards were dealt with and how we mm-hmm. deal with those things. Are we going to learn through it or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, makes a huge difference of what you choose to do with what you've got.
Exactly. You know, I could have easily said, "Oh, you know, everything happened to me," instead of saying, "Okay, this is mm-hmm. what happened, and let's help other people with it."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's all, or like you said, you know, people with cancer, You know, I know people who have survived breast cancer, and they're just a glowing example to me and an inspiration to me. I have a friend of mine who has MS, and she's an inspiration. She just, you know, worked through some of the stuff that she needed to. It all depends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it all depends. So do you consider past life regression to be out there or far-fetched, and how do you apply this thought in our daily lives?
I don't think it's out there. As I said, I'm very pragmatic. I just see it as a tool. And when people say to me, that's really woo-woo, and I say, fine, you know, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to buy my story.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm asking you to do is to consider that maybe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not possible, then how come the CBC did that show and found people's lives they could verify?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There have been people that have done past life regressions, have found out who they are and found records, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the CBC actually had teams of researchers working with people and verified. They brought me 33 people. Out of the 33, I think less 29 or 28 went into a past life of some sort. Out of those, they could verify 10 of them.
Mm.
And out of those 10, they chose 3 that would make good TV.
Wow.
So, and people want to see that. That's still online somewhere. You can, actually, it's on YouTube, I think, some of it.
Yeah, I did hear about that special. I have not had, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know Unsolved Mysteries, I don't know, there was an American show called Unsolved Mysteries in the 80s and early 90s, and they did that as well. They talked to Suckman about that. So I think it's interesting. That,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
even Oprah has, you know, investigated it and looked at it, and she had Brian Weiss on talking about it, and Brian used some of the tape from the CBC show, the part of it where the woman spoke a different language. So you'll hear my voice leading her through this, and Oprah kept saying, "You sure she's speaking?" So yeah, she's speaking Hindi. Does she speak Hindi in this life? No. No,
Brian Weiss, by the way, listeners who are not familiar, he did the book, Many Masters, Many Lives.
Yeah.
He started this, so, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a fascinating thing. People really, yeah, we're in an age of enlightenment more than we think other
people. Oh, totally, yeah.
You know, things are moving forward, and that's why I do this show, because I want to educate people what's out there, because, you know, it's like I talk Japanese myself, you know.
Right. So. Do your listeners contact you and ask more questions?
Sometimes they do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it depends on how serious they are. You know, some of my clients do will listen. Yeah, they do, and I like to educate myself, so the more educated I am, the more, too, I can bring out stuff to different people, different modalities of healing, and that's what I believe in. I think there's other alternative healing, like past life regression or hypnotherapy or, you know, the IET or the Reiki, and then on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Indeed.
Do you have your own guide or guides, and if so, how do you use them in your work, Dr. Kim?
Oh, I have my guides, and sometimes I have to shut them up and send them away. I have one that's Scottish, and he keeps telling me, oh, don't be so stupid, Georgina, you know better than that, you know, things like that. I do, I'm audio sentient, so I hear them sometimes, and sometimes when I'm working with a client, and I literally say, oh, what do I do with this client? I get the answer, and I'm grateful always. And sometimes if people get stuck and they can't get beyond, my guides always help. But I ask for their guides to come in as well.
Because
I think that's important. It's not about me. It's about them.
Exactly. Like before I do a reading too, I'll pray either with the client or pray before I talk to the client. And ask for their spirit guide and angels and beings of the light to come through.
Right.
And sometimes it's interesting because my guides will be laughing. I'll say, you get to meet these characters, you know.
Right.
They have a bunch of characters, too.
Right.
So, yeah, it's always good.
And it's interesting, I've got a lot of corporate clients who you wouldn't think would be interested in things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And often they come in for something totally different, like public speaking. Mm-hmm. And then when you start working with them and they find their soul and they find the other parts of them that they've been ignoring or they didn't know about, mm-hmm. and they start doing things like past lives, it's fascinating.
Wow.
Love it.
I love it, too. I love when, you know, you can take the skeptic and make them a believer. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't do it, but, yeah. Spirit.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
And then you could grin and say, got another one. Yeah.
Got another life. Another yeah. life. Another I know. Life. I love it. I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just beautiful. Beautiful work. Very honoring. Very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
Awe-inspiring work. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I learned something. A lot of times I'll learn something I didn't know.
Oh.
Or they'll show me another facet. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. All the time. Particularly when I'm
teaching. I know.
They're
all, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what you need to learn, you're teaching already.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
a lesson you need to learn
mm-hmm.
is through a client.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a client who can't regress back to the past life or interlife?
Yes, and usually when we ask why, it's because they have something in this life that they need to deal with first.
Okay.
It might be old anger. It might be resentment. It
mm-hmm.
might be something like shame that they need to deal with in this life first. The soul won't let them do a bypass, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, because there's just some people who really want it, but they can't get it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and that I find often what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it's because they're so eager. It doesn't happen that often,
mm-hmm.
but when it does, sometimes it's, you know, so they're sitting there saying, are we there yet? You know, like kids in the back of the car. They get all excited.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Do you think that other planets or dimensions have anything to do with past lives?
Yeah, I think people come from other planets and other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 or 5 months ago, I had a guy who came in from, where was he from? I'm trying to think. He was from Europe somewhere. He came in anyway to see me. He was here visiting family, and he wanted to come and see me. He, you know, been a follower on the Shirley MacLaine thing and
oh, okay.
all of that. So he came in, and he wanted to do past life and interlife. Past life was quite ordinary, normal, you know, as it would be. And then in the interlife, he suddenly said, I seem to be in liquid, like water.
Mm.
And I said, yeah. What form are you? Thinking maybe he was a dolphin or something. He said, we're humanoid. We're human forms, and we communicate telepathically. And really our job is to investigate different ways of using energy and for the benefit of humankind. And when we finished our job, we go back into the liquid. So I said, oh, so are you born and you die, or what happens? He said, no. We emerge from the liquid, and then we go back into the liquid when we've done the part that we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was obviously another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Or another planet, another, you know.
Wow, that's excellent. Yeah, I believe that, too. I've regressed back to planet. You know, I'll be like, this is not Earth, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
People think
yeah.
that they're like,
in fact,
yeah.
Tarek, who we were talking about earlier, when he on his first journey, when he first met me, he went, and he was a science person, he went to a red planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed his mind totally, because he became from a science person to a spiritual person in one shot.
Yeah, I think he talked about that on the show when he was on back in March. I think I recall that. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you explain what you mean by heaven and hell on earth? I have my own theory on this, but I want to hear what you have.
Yeah, I think that we make our own heaven on
mm-hmm.
earth or our hell on earth. I think we can choose
mm-hmm.
Most of the time, certainly not every time, but most of the time we can choose how we view things, how we interact with things and people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the experience I give in the book is if you're walking through a park and you see a couple kissing and cuddling on the grass, You can either say, oh, go get a room, or you can say, how lovely. They're sharing a moment of bliss and love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how we choose to view our world, whether we're making a heaven or a hell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's about perception, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes you're like, yeah, get a room. Or Sometimes it depends on what day of the week it is for me. Just kidding. That's true. It's your perception about it. You know, this is an interesting question here. Are you concerned about your statement that in a situation of sudden infant death syndrome or SIDS, that the soul has chosen to leave for a reason?
Am I concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it, but I'm very careful who I tell.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I think it's really callous to, I wouldn't dream of saying that to someone who has lost a child that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in such grief, it really is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime in the future, if they want to come and see me and do some investigation, I wouldn't do that directly, but I would talk about how we all choose and take them through and into life and see, and they would notice how they have chosen to come into this life as a male or female and what they chose to come in with. And then there'd be a realization that, in fact, the child that left knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's bad enough for the mother. She usually blames herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wouldn't want to make it worse. So I'm very careful about that.
Mm-hmm. And on that subject, what about miscarriages and abortions?
Same thing.
Same thing? Same thought?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because I used to debate with my friend whether the soul inhabited the fetus or the embryo, or would it come in and out. What has been your experience about that? Does the soul
My experience
come in?
Has been that sometimes the soul hovers around for quite a while outside the mother.
Okay.
And sometimes doesn't come in until the moment of birth or shortly thereafter, which is why sometimes some babies, they're not sure whether they're going to live or not live when they're born.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes they're waiting so eagerly, they're almost saying to the mother, come on, decorate that damn nursery or stop working so I can come in. And other times they do come in and out, but it's not all the same. And when we do talk to the soul of the baby, we get that information.
Huh. Yeah, that's, 'cause sometimes I wonder, the way I came in, it was, you know, my mother was late, it was later in life, and this was her second marriage, and it was like right after the honeymoon. There I was, and she was not expecting one.
No. A little early, dear. You
obviously
wanted to come in.
Yeah, I did, and then I wanted to leave.
You made a wrong turning, obviously. Whoops, wrong one.
Because my mother's like, I wasn't expecting you. I'm like, well, me, I don't know how to look at that, Mom.
Yeah, right.
Yes. That's what I was asking, because, you know, I have clients that, you know, they ask about miscarriages and abortions. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
It's always sad because the mother that carries, even if she chooses an abortion, there's always a bit of sadness around it, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the soul has a say in the matter for sure.
And sometimes it may be, if you're having an abortion, I don't want to touch it to hot topic, you know, hot button topic, but it may be that soul, it's more for the mother, the lesson for the mother maybe too.
Indeed. Could be.
You know.
It could be. Or the father.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be some kind of lesson for them, and that soul just decided to help, you know, with that soul contract. I've had that come through, actually. That's
right. And if you've read the book by Neil Donald Walsh, Little Soul in the Sun, you'll see that the soul does come in to sometimes just for the purpose of helping others to achieve something, whether it be forgiveness or whatever.
Or just personal freedom, or maybe just made a decision that they needed to become stronger. It
could
be a number of different things. Yeah.
Right.
So, Dr. Cannon, do you believe that past life regression can help everyone?
No. I don't think anything can help everyone, including aspirin. I need to be quite so blunt, but, you know, I don't think anything is ubiquitous, I think. You know.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's like alcohol. It's not the be-all and end-all for people.
I think everybody, and at different times in your life, too, it may be work for you at some point and not in others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's certainly not an answer to everything by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But it does help where other things have not worked.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it
sometimes.
Does. It, sometimes, right. That's why I'm saying there's different healing modalities for individuals. And, you know, that's good to be kind of, know a broad range of things. Like, I practice a different broad range of things. Sometimes I'll go to an Akashic, you know, I'm having Akashic records, you know, reading. Or someone will do shamanic work on somebody.
Right.
You know, it's all different. It all depends.
Well, that's why I get, that's why I refer out a lot. And there, you know, I have a couple of psychiatrists who refer people to me.
Mm.
And that's because I do it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say, this is more than I can handle. You need to go see more than I'm trained to do. You need to see someone who really is trained in trauma. Or trained in clinical depression. You know, I cannot, and it's not appropriate for me to do this with you.
Exactly, and sometimes maybe you need, like I always felt like, you know, therapy is great, or a 12-step program or something, but it's always good to get the spiritual aspect. You need support in other ways, too.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
You know, so that's very important. At least that's what my belief is on my path. You know, I've
done
it all.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it all. So
that's
always a good thing. Here's a fun question for you. Have you ever had clients regressing to famous people? And we discussed this before a little bit. And don't they all want to be famous people?
I have had one client regress to famous person. And they didn't even know who that famous person was. I mean, I knew who it was. But they didn't know who it was.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, because I happen to love dance and have always been involved in ballet and everything. It was Anna Pavlova. So I knew who it was. But she had no idea who it was.
Wow.
Now, I did have a client come in who was convinced she was Cleopatra.
Uh-huh.
But there was no way she was Cleopatra. You know, you ask her some questions and she just didn't know the answers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. That's
and
funny.
She was posturing all over the place, you know.
Oh gosh, that's funny. Yeah, yeah.
No, you can tell.
Yeah, you can, and sometimes, you can definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anyone who shouldn't do the work, and if so, why?
I don't believe that people who are ill. Schizophrenia or any medical illness should be doing this work. They have a hard enough time understanding reality.
Mm-hmm.
And although I do have colleagues who believe that it would be helpful for people with schizophrenia, for instance, I wouldn't want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
I, even with all the training I have, and I just don't want to take the responsibility of being making a mistake and causing it that what they're carrying with them to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
I look for the day that there are psychiatrists who do past life, like Brian Weiss, and just hope there's more of them, because they're needed, not for writing books, but for helping people who are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't believe that people should do it looking for a way out, an easy way out, and I tell them that, so...
Yeah, and that's very true. It's something interesting. So is there anything you want to add before we sign off here? Where can people find you? And,
they can find me in Toronto.
Of course, I know where to find you.
You know where to find me. Come into life with me. That would be a delicious treat for both of us.
Okay. They
can find me at georginacannon.com.
Okay.
They can find my book on Amazon.com, and you can get it in Kindle or paperback or Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. And it's selling very well on Amazon, by the way. It's really doing quite nicely.
Good.
and anything. I've got some videos and some MP3s that will help with migraines, anxiety, meeting your soul journey, taking your soul journey, all on the website. So it's all there to help people achieve their magnificence.
Wow.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the goal, isn't it? Well,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Cannon, this was a delight. I may have come up to Toronto and meet you one day. I'd love to do that. That would be wonderful.
And, yeah, how about spring?
Okay. Sounds good to me. That would be great.
We don't want to do it in the winter.
No, but I still go up there anyway. Still love Toronto. I love it up there.
Good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a delight. You are a delightful guest, and definitely when your other books come out, I'd love to have you come on, too. And
well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Cannon. Everyone, thank you. Next week, we'll have something different. Have a great week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.